you for that song. What a beautiful song. You know, and hears me when I call. I was thinking, so how often do we call on Him? Is it just when we need Him? Is it daily? How often do we call Him? He's there. He wants to hear from us. So He goes right along with what we want to talk about this morning. I gave you just a little sheet of paper in your bulletin today. I think everybody may have one. And I thought Charlie was going to go ahead and finish the message this morning when he started. And Charlie, you could have finished it, brother. That would have been great. What a beautiful group of little people y'all have here. Boy, you moms and dads, y'all are doing good. Y'all are being fruitful and multiplying. 14 little heads up here. That was beautiful. Anyway, what I did, I gave you this slip of paper. I do this with our church at Midway. I give a little sermon outline, but you're going to see very quickly that the lifelines will be my lifelines. They're my lifelines. And I want to try to put that in sermon form this morning for us as we look together at some scriptures and see what God's going to teach us this morning. So I hope you'll jot down some notes maybe, and I want to challenge you at the end to do something with that sheet of paper. I know David's a little bit taller, a little bit broader than I am, but this is really overwhelming to me. I really would like to be down on the floor there, but I'll hide myself up here. I don't know if you're familiar with a writer called J.I. Packer, but this is what he said. I quote, "The Bible is the rope God throws us in order to ensure that we stay connected while the rescue is in progress." J.I. Packer. Well, if you have your Bibles, I do want to just read a few verses sort of to springboard us into what I feel God wants us to hear this morning. Proverbs chapter number 4, find verse number 20, if you will. Reading from the New King James this morning. It reads this way. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." Verse 22. "For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." The word of God for the people of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look into your word this morning, I pray, God, that you would show us what you want us to see, what you want us to learn, what you want us to leave here with this morning. And God, I just want to personally thank you for the verses that we'll cover today because they're so dear to my heart. And I pray, God, that the scripture is very dear to each and every one of us here today. So, God, speak to us, Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, it was a warm summer afternoon in the year 1975 when a young mom and her two sons, along with her two sons' friends, went to a local swimming pool. And immediately when these four young people got out of the car, they dashed to the pool and they dove in. Three of those young people surfaced and began swimming to the edge of the pool. One of them did not. Two questions for us today. Who is your lifeline? Question two, what is your lifeline? It's interesting to me that for the most part, people generally get wiser the older they get. Is that how that's supposed to work? I think it is. You know, I think you'll agree that we all live and learn, right? We all live and learn. And for almost 60 years, I have lived and learned some lessons the hard way. I can remember my daddy telling me, son, you got a hard head. And he was right. There was a lot of truth to that. But you know, over the years, the older I get, and hopefully the more wise I become, I've learned that those temporal things in life are just that, they're temporal. And they don't last forever. They fade away. And I've learned, again, in a hard way, that those things that are eternal, those things that won't last forever, the things that won't last forever, I need to push aside, those things that are eternal, I need to focus on. Where's our focus this morning? What are we focused on? Where is our attention given? And here's where I want us to take us this morning. Because folks, this is the reason that we meet on Sunday mornings, because of this book. This book and what God has to teach us. All we have to do is read this book and Scripture will interpret itself. It speaks for itself. Well, that eternal thing that I want to focus on, and I pray that you do too, is the Holy Bible, God's inerrant, infallible word. Listen to Isaiah 40 and verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Psalm 119 verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven, meaning eternal. Well, I know you want to know what happened to the little boy that dove into the water, don't you? You interested in that, what happened to him? He made it. It wasn't without a struggle, going under, coming back up. He survived. And you're looking at the one who dove in that saved him. True story. You want to know the guy's name? It wasn't Joe Wilson. A Joe like me, he can float if nothing else. Donald Egerton. Dr. Egerton, his brother. Now, why did I tell you that? Did I tell you that? Oh, Pastor Lowder, he saved somebody's life. No, that's not why I'm telling you that. The reason I'm telling you that is not to get a pat on the back, but to remind us this morning that our lifeline must be God and His Word. Charlie hit the nail on the head this morning as he was talking with the little people. So here again, who is your lifeline? What is your lifeline? Now, please allow me to move right into Lifeline 1 through 5 on your sheet there. If you want to jot some stuff down, that's fine. But I want to share with you under God's leading this morning my lifelines and why they're my lifelines. And I begin in a certain order, and I'll tell you why. Every morning or afternoon, sometimes during the day, it is one of my goals to recite these verses. To read these verses, to put them to practice in my life, for God to remind me that He is my lifeline. And I begin with Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, He says that, and then he gives the reason why. So I ask, why? For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Have you ever not taken the opportunity to share Christ with someone? Have you ever missed that opportunity? And let me take it a step further. Have you ever done that on purpose? Intentionally? I think we're all guilty as charged. Have you ever not helped someone? Well, I'm saying all that to say this, because Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And when I don't share with someone the love of Christ, and when I don't stop to help someone who is in need, then for me, okay, here again, for me, I have just said that I am ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And that's just my conviction. Maybe it's yours as well. And then I move over to the Gospel of John, chapter number 15, verse number 5. Jesus speaking here. Jesus was about to go ascend back into heaven. He was giving his disciples again all this information, where he was going. He's going to leave them. He's not coming back. But he promised that they'd be taken care of. But he reminds them in that verse number 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And here's my part that I love. For without me, you can do nothing. I made it a practice when I began preaching, was before every time I stood up to preach in a sanctuary or wherever it is to speak, that's a verse that I pray. God, remind me that apart from you, I can do nothing. Because men especially, we can do it all, can't we? We don't need the help from our spouses. We don't need instructions how to get somewhere. We're going to get there even if it's the wrong way and it takes us an hour too long to get there. We can do it ourselves. Well, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And then I go over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 10, verse number 27. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is Jesus speaking, with men it is what? Impossible? Impossible. But not with God. For with God all things are possible. Now let's be really truthful today. Let's be really honest with self. Do we really believe that? I just want you to think about that. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that all things are possible with God? Charlie said so this morning. Maybe there are times in our life when our back is against the wall. God, is this really possible? Well, he says, with man, impossible. With God, possible. So there's our answer. Matthew 6, 33. It says this, seek first the kingdom of God. God was so intentional when he wrote this book, wasn't he? He says first, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. All these other things. They will take care of themselves. You leave the main thing, and everything else will fall into place. And I know you've seen it happen in your life. I've seen it happen in my life over and over again when things are in the right order. So many times we are so out of whack and out of order with the way we do things and handle things. And I say my favorite for last. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Over the years, I've done, 50 or so weddings. And I think there are probably some in here today that I see at least one back there. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, to me, is key, not only in marriage counseling, but in ministry in general, in life in general. And this is what the writer says in verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's that all again. All. All. That's where we get into trouble, because we don't trust in Him with all of our heart. With all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. When you were in college, been a long time ago for me and a long time for some of you as well, just a short time for some of you. But we know that there were things called prerequisites. Couldn't take one class before you took this one. English 101 or whatever it is you had to have before you took 102, and math the same way, and any other, all these other courses as well. When I look at these, at this passage, that's what I see. There is a prerequisite to God directing your path and my path. Now listen to them. And notice all these action words. Trust. That's action. Trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not on your own understanding. I like that, because you know what? I don't know about you. Maybe you have everything figured out, but I don't have it all figured out. I don't understand. I don't understand why babies are born with deformities. I don't understand that. I don't understand why young people get killed in car accidents. I don't understand that. Maybe God gave us this verse because of that. Lean not on your own understanding. And then he says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. Church, two times it used the word all. Trust with all your heart. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And then, he says the best for last. He will direct our paths. He will direct our steps. He will lead us in the right direction. But see, we get bent out of shape sometimes because things aren't going the way we'd like for them to go, because we're not trusting God. And we're trying to figure it out ourselves. We're leaning on our own understanding. And we're not acknowledging Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, I share from my heart to yours these verses that are very important to me, that mean a lot to me in my life. So here's the challenge for us today is this. If you don't have a life verse or verses, can I encourage you, can I challenge you to begin to search the Scriptures and let God speak to your heart and maybe give you a verse or two that is your life verse? That you don't have to look up and read, that you memorize, that you meditate on it, you memorize it, you digest it, you put it to work and use in your own life. I'm not going to ask a show of hands, but how many of you have a life verse? I hope that somebody shares these verses at my funeral. Is there a key verse that you can use when you depart this life? Is there a key verse that you need to use in your marriage, in your dating relationship, if you're here and you're dating and you're in retirement? There's all kind of verses that we can use. So that's my challenge to you. And I just thank God today that God has given me these verses for my individual life. And I know that He's given you a verse. I know it. This is what I challenged my church with three years ago. Is to share your life verse with someone. Just share your life verse with somebody. Notice I didn't say try to win them to Christ. I just said share your life verse with them. What a door that may be open. The Bible is a rope God throws us in order to ensure that we stay connected while the rescue is in progress. God and His Word is our lifeline. Would you pray with me? Lord, you are so good to us. We don't deserve it. We fail you. We disappoint you. We sin against you. And God, every single time you're there. You are our lifeline. God, again, I thank you for your word this morning. And anytime a body of believers gather together, you bless it. Lord, your word has been read. The message has been proclaimed. And Lord, now it is up to us to respond to the gospel. To respond to that still small voice that we keep hearing in our heart and in our life. So Lord, as we sing this hymn of response, I pray, God, that you would just continue to speak to our hearts. God, that you would show us that life verse that we need to see. And Lord, that we will apply it to our lives. And that we will share it with those around us. God, thank you for New Harmony Church. Thank you for its membership. Thank you for its leadership. Thank you for Pastor David and what he means to each and every one of us in this room today. Now, God, speak to our hearts as we sing together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.